Good morning and welcome. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. So we have been on this series, you know, mostly acknowledging our women. Praise the Lord. And empowering the women, basically, you know, to step out into what God has called you for, while not neglecting your role in the home, but then at the same time, you know, all that calling that may be upon your life, and not being put in bondage. We've talked about the bondwoman and the free woman. I'm going to just read a few things in the scriptures this morning and then open it up for discussion. Today, I want to hear more people talk about this. I think I've delivered my own lessons on this topic comprehensively over the last 2 days, but I want to hear more people talk about this. So, good morning and good afternoon. Welcome again. Father, we thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to say another quick word of prayer, read some scriptures, and then we'll get to it. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as the entrance of your word comes this morning. Let it give us that light and understanding. Shine it in the hearts of God, the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, a great teacher. Illuminate our hearts as we fellowship and as we share together this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read just Paul, you know, some of Paul's acknowledgments, you know, of women and so on. You know, because some people always thought that, oh, Paul was always like this and like that. I just want to read a few verses here. First of all, well, let's read Romans chapter 16 as he closes this this epistle. Yeah, there's a lot of acknowledgments that he gives here. I'm just going to read through it. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a succorer of many, and of myself also. So Paul here acknowledging the work that Phoebe, you know, is doing, and she was going somewhere, and Paul recommending her to the church that they should assist her. And so forth, because of all the good things that she had done, you know, in helping many. Even Paul himself said, of myself also. Now greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, Priscilla and Aquila here, for whatever reason, Paul, you know, switches the name. Usually it's Aquila and Priscilla, because Aquila is the man, Priscilla is the woman. Here, you know, Paul, you know, somehow he switches it around and he's talking about, you know, Priscilla and Aquila. And do you know the story of Priscilla and Aquila? You know, the things that they did. And we've read that during this lesson, you know, how that they helped Apollos, you know, who, you know, was a mighty man of scriptures, you know, but he knew only the baptism of John. But the things that he knew, he did it, you know, very, very well. You know, and he mightily convinced the Jews, you know, and whom when the, this couple heard him preach, they, brought him into their house, and they expounded unto him more perfectly the way of the Lord. And then he became even a much mightier, much mightier preacher as well, because of the help that he received from Aquila and Priscilla. And you can read that story in Acts, chapter 18. And I'm going to just read a portion of it. There was this man called Apollos, that was described here. A mighty man in the scriptures, and all the things that he was able to do, able to convince the Jews mightily. Let's read from verse 14 of Acts chapter 18. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Now, so from the baptism of John, this Apollos, mighty in the scriptures, used the work that John was doing to convince people, about the role of John. John was the one that said, look, I baptize you with water, someone coming after me, and so on. He used it to convince the Jews and everybody about the way, this way, But when Aquila and Priscilla heard him speak, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the very Christ. Now, so Priscilla was also instrumental in helping to shape this man, Apollos. If you read the very beginning of this chapter 18 of Acts, you see that Paul met Aquila at the beginning. So after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontius, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla. Now, so we know that Aquila was the guy, Priscilla was the wife. And because Paul was in the same trade or craft, tent makers, he, hooked up with them, reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded the Jews and so on. So that's how, Paul and these people met, and they worked together and so forth. And later on, Paul would, acknowledge Aquila and Priscilla. So let's get back to Romans chapter 6. I just wanted to read that. Romans 16, sorry. Read that story to us. So he acknowledged them here. He said, likewise also, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. This couple, they actually did a lot. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So they actually had a church in their house. And I'm sure they were working together, husband and wife, Aquila and his wife, Priscilla. Now, he goes on to greet others. Salute also my well-beloved Epanitus, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, that's another woman. I don't know if this Epanitus, you know, whether it's male or female, I can't tell from here. But talks about Mary, who bestowed much love on us. Talks about Andronicus and Junia. Junia there is a female name. My kinsman, worthy of note among the apostles. They were also in Christ before me, acknowledging so many people. And players, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Amen, our helper. And Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are the Aristobulus' household. I mean, salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them of the house of Narcissus, and which are in the Lord. And he talked about Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. You know, Persis, and many of these names, some of them are women, you know, and on and on and on. And he talks about salute Philo Logos and Julia. That's another female name, Nerissius and his sister, and Amphipolis, and so on and so forth. So we see how he was acknowledging, you know, all the people that worked with him. And many of them were women. So this is just to say that some people say, well, Paul was always, you know, talked down to the women and so forth, never acknowledged women. Well, that's not true. There were certain situations that Paul addressed. And even in those situations, he wasn't always talking to everybody or every woman, just talking to the unruly ones. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, you know, we read this also. He was talking about greeting them here. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and long for my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, he told them. I beseech you, Dias and Cynthia, that they be of the same mind, the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. In this place, he didn't, you know, mention their name one by one, but he assumed that, you know, they knew who he was talking about. And, you know, talk about Clement, my other laborers whose names are in the book of life. So we see a lot of acknowledgement. Well, we see Jesus himself, you know, in various ways. I acknowledged women. You know, we don't know all the women that ministered to him. You know, even at the time of when he was going to the cross, said some women followed him, ministered to him. But we know that through his days, he acknowledged women. You know, and I mean, sometimes he would go into the house of Mary and Martha, you know, fellowship with them. There was one instance which we have covered in this room at times where he went into the house of Martha and Mary, and Martha was running around, Mary was sitting at his feet, you know, and Jesus acknowledged Mary and said, look, she's doing the right thing, sitting here, the one needful thing. We're not going to take that away from her. You know, there are other stories in the Bible that, you know, Jesus, there was a story where the people were saying, well, you know, because, you know, the woman, you know, was coming there and, you know, wiping his feet with her hair and anointing, you know, him with oil and so forth. And people were saying, well, you know, if you knew who this woman was, of course he knew, you know, he had, you know, cast out devils and so forth out of her. You know, and not only that, he acknowledged her and said, look, let her alone because she's doing this for a reason. And wherever, you know, this gospel will be preached, it will, this thing that she has done will be in remembrance of her. Well, just like I'm doing today. You know, there's a story in John chapter 12. And another record in Luke chapter 7, you know, where these stories were written. So in John chapter 12 and verse 3, let's quickly read, you know, some of the acknowledge, even the scriptures acknowledging these things that they did, you know. So that's that these women did. That's all I'm just pointing out this morning. You know, there was a, you know, the Bible says that 6 days before the Passover came, you know, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom had raised from the dead, and made a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat with him at the table. You know, Mary and all of these things, you know, took ointment and so forth and wiped his feet, and he was acknowledged. We see also in the book of Luke chapter 7, this is another story. You know, sometimes it's not clear, you know, which Mary they're talking about, but in any case, is acknowledged many times, these women, what they did. In the book of Luke chapter 7, let me read from verse 38, you know, perhaps let me read, you know, a little earlier just to give some context. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, starting at verse 36. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, which she knew, when she knew that Jesus was in the house, brought an alabaster box, you know, and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet and so forth. You know, and the Pharisees, when they saw him, said, look, if this man were a prophet, you know, he would have known what manner of woman is this. You know, because the woman, they said, well, this one's a sinner. Which kind of women did they call sinners in those days? Well, maybe she was a harlot, you know, or something. And then, you know, so they were arguing. And I mean, they were grumbling in their heart that why is Jesus allowing this woman to do this thing? And so the Lord would tell them a story. And then he called the man and said, look, you see this woman? When I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears. And again, you know, she wiped that with her hairs on my head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since I came, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head you did not, you know, but, you know, this woman has anointed my feet, you know, and so forth. You know, wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And now Jesus, acknowledging that this woman who was called a sinner, loved the Lord much. And, you know, throughout the scriptures, many, many acknowledgments of men, of women. The best one was the one that, you know, we read yesterday, where Jesus, you know, entrusted the message, the first message of the resurrection to a woman. You know, and then she was the one first to whom Jesus appeared and sent her to go give the message to his brethren that he had risen from the dead. You know, so throughout the scriptures, we see many, many, many acknowledgments. Paul himself acknowledging, you know, the mother of Timothy, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, and all these things that they did, let alone all the things, great things that people, women did in the Old Testament. I haven't even gone to that. But there are many, many women of great note in the Old Testament. You know, you talk about Miriam, you talk about, you know, many of these who died. We talk about even Esther, the queen, rose to great power and delivered the whole nation of the Jews from destruction at that time. You know, we talk about a lot of women, Deborah, and so on and so forth. So today, I want to just take a little time to acknowledge all the Kingdom Women of Faith that have been co-laboring with us in the kingdom. We are all co-laborers. Paul said, my fellow laborers. Well, we are all co-laborers in this work, and we want to appreciate you and all that you do. I want to particularly also appreciate my wife, because she's been a co-laborer with me for many years. By the grace of God, this year, I have a celebration coming up in July that I will be marking 50 years of ministry. Well, for many of those years, my wife's been right there. This same year, we would have been married in July. It would be 48 years. That whole time. And perhaps a year or so even before. Because we were doing the work together even before we got married. You know, and we kept doing it till now. So upwards, very close to that 50-year mark that we've been in the ministry together. And she's been right there with me. And you see her on this platform every day. And you can see the lady in the pink background. That's my lovely lady. You know, so help me acknowledge her this morning. Praise the Lord for all the things that she has been. You know, so I salute her for the all those years in the ministry. And I tell you something too. You know, when we first started out, we were very young. We were doing work in the ministry together. A lot of testimonies and so forth. Even back in the early days, even, you know, healing a crazy man that was on the street for many years and those kind of things and so on. Some of you may have heard some of those testimonies. A lot of other things. And then, you know, more recently, you know, standing by me, even, you know, in doing the work of as a pastor and so forth. And, you know, being a pastor's wife, that's not the easiest thing in the world. A lot of things, challenges, criticisms, envy and stuff. But, you know, she stood right there, you know, all through the years. And now, you know, we are on this platform doing this work together. She's also there. Praise the Lord, you know. And so isn't that wonderful just to have, you know, that kind of support, you know, and, she's my greatest, fan. I don't know if I can use the word fan or admirer or my greatest student in the scriptures. When I met her, we were not married initially. You know, I started teaching her even the scriptures from a young, you know, time. The Lord honored me to be the one that prayed for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's actually how we met. You know, I was conducting a Holy Ghost baptism rally many, many years ago, you know, with a friend of mine. And she came to that event. That's how we met. And I was led to go pray for her. That friend was Pastor Roland Akibon, Sister Maggie's husband. Sister Maggie is always here in this room. You know her. And myself and her husband go back a long ways. So we were doing this event. It was a 3-day, well, I don't know. I can't remember if it was 3 days. But anyway, we asked people to fast for 3 days. And then we came for baptism. The day that she came, and she said it was her first time, you know, fasting like that. She came from the office. They got the notice. She was sitting in the back of the auditorium. We went and used one little church building somewhere. And, you know, I just run to go and pray for her. You know, she just appeared to be weak and all that. Prayed for her, laid hands upon her, received the Holy Ghost. She did. You know, and later on when we left, we talked as we walked out of the building to go to the bus stop. They didn't have cars in those days. That was many, many years ago. You know, and then, you know, we started to talk some more. I noticed that she was just coming in the Lord and needed some help. So I had to help her and teach her the scriptures and stuff like that. And that's how we met. You know, and it was like a sponge. Just soaked everything in and, you know, stood right there. And we started going out witnessing. That was actually our first love together. We would go out together. I always wanted her to be there in case I went into some house and it was just women, you know, and, you know, we would go from house to house. We would just preach, talk to people and so forth. And, you know, just imagine all that time until now, you know. So like Paul was acknowledging all the people that have helped him in the ministry, you know, I acknowledge, this, you know, my Lady Ebon, for all the great work that she's done. I also want to acknowledge all the wonderful women in this house, you know, the support that you have given. And many of you know that, you know, we've got these powerful women in this house. All they have to do is just open their mouth one time and then you'll know it, you know, and every time they speak, just so powerful. We talk about, you know, from those that share to those that help in posting the scriptures. Sister Grace always in the back, just posting scriptures and things. It's just amazing. You can't do these things on your own, you know, without all this help. And our women have been so amazing. You know, even in our local church here at Gospel Missions International in Phoenix, I mean, the women, my goodness. I mean, all the stuff that they do behind the scenes. And, I mean, they even have, I mean, the women were even the first to start a prayer group. They started their prayer group before, and my wife was just one, started that prayer group with women before even the men prayer group. And what was their main focus? Praying for the ministry, praying for the church. You know, and I remember days when, even in the early days, she'd go out there and, you know, early in the morning, gather a few people together, praying for the service. I mean, always like that. These women always backing everything up in prayer. You know, and so we appreciate, all the women, all they do, you know, so, I see more good in the women, you know, than otherwise. And so Paul also saw a lot of good. And sometimes there were some unruly and he had to put them in their place. And we've had some unruly too, you know, here and there that we had to, you know, deal with. But for the most part, you know, great, 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 you know, benefit from the women and all the things they do. And help us with our events. And anytime we have any event, the women are always behind it. You know, plan the event, do this and so forth. Both the older and the younger generation, you know, like my daughters, and their set and so forth. I mean, amazing work that they do in helping in the media, in advertising, in planning events and all these things. And we can't do this without, you know, without the women. So today, you know, I salute all the women in ministry, you know, and these are the ones that I know. And there's other women that we see on television or we see here and there. I mean, I don't know them firsthand, but I see all the work that they're doing and we salute them also, you know, and I know for some of them, it's not been easy as well. I mean, imagine a woman called to the ministry in the midst of people who say, well, you shouldn't be up there. And you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. You know, I'm not endorsing any woman doing anything. That's between them and the Lord. You know, I think I made that clear the other day. I'm just saying that if it was the Lord that indeed called them and put them in that position, then praise the Lord, you know, and God bless them and those who are doing their work faithfully. We see a lot of men that are, you know, in ministry as well. I don't know that every man was truly called who's out there, you know, being a pastor and this and that. So just because it's a man doesn't mean that you, God truly put him there. Some people put themselves there. Some people actually do it for, you know, it's like a trade. You know, I've heard people actually, I've heard some stories where some people, you know, try to go into pastoral work because, well, there was nothing else to do. I mean, can you imagine that? They tried this, tried that, that didn't work. So they picked up, say they're going to be a pastor now. You know, so I don't know if God called everybody that's out there doing whatever they're doing. I mean, but that's between them and the Lord, you know, whether they're a woman or man. But to the women who are doing what God called them to do, and the women that are serving their husbands, even at home, like my wife explained yesterday, I salute them with all my heart. My wife, my daughters, Tubi is my older daughter, Olunife is my second daughter. We salute them, all the work they do. Salute all our women here, the women from GMI Church, and the women from that we've met here on Clubhouse. And I guarantee you, I mean, look in this room right now. Just look. Do your PTR, scroll down to refresh, and see the number of women versus the number of men that are here. And this is the way it always is. If you call for prayer meeting, it's more women. If you do anything in the church, it's more women. I mean, it's women at the once, you know. And it's evidenced here. You know, you can see the number of women that are here versus the number of men. Maybe 2-1. I don't know. Or even more than that. You know, and, you know, so we appreciate all the women. Now, that being said, I am going to wrap up my vote of thanks to all the women here. But I want to us to discuss more on this topic in general. For the last 2 days, you've heard all the things we've talked about. I didn't want to do any summary. If you missed it, you have to go back and listen to the replays. Very, very detailed. We went over the last 2 days. Today, I just wanted to come out here and acknowledge the women, you know, and acknowledge what they've done. You know, women have helped to advance, you know, the work of the ministry. And to all the women as well, you know, there's a crown for them, just like the men. And even Jesus, I'm just reminded of this now. Jesus was acknowledging his mother on the cross. And he says to John, John, behold your mom. Woman, behold your son. And he was, you know, looking out for her and acknowledging her even on the cross, you know, and so on. You know, so we salute and thank all the women. And that's my tribute to the women this morning, starting from, you know, the one and only Lady Ebon that's been there with me all my life. And then my lovely daughters, Satubi and Olunife. And so on and so forth. And all the women that have been of help to me in the ministry. And we've met many of you here on this platform. And some of you are so kind. I mean, the words that you say, there are many people here that I know from way back when. And Sister Otitoju you from here, for instance, we call her Sister Bossa. You see her in the room with Sister Otitoju. I've known her forever. You know. When my wife and I were getting married, she was there. She was one of the ladies in honor or whatever they call those things. So right there. You know, what about Sister Maggie? We've known her forever. Herself and, I mean, her husband, we've been friends forever. I've done a lot of things with her husband all over the globe and everything, you know. And many, many people. I mean, there's so many people that we've known here for so long. Sister Julia, known her for a long time. You know, I'm just talking about the women. Sister Mary, you know, not leaving the men out, but I'm just talking about the women. But even some what we've never known, we just met you here on this platform, and we are so, I mean, we become like family. You know, I mean, you're so much a part of our lives now. You know, all of you, everybody that I see in this room. I mean, talk about Sister Pearl. Well, I didn't meet Sister Pearl here on the platform. I've known her in our local community, you know. But, I mean, everybody that's just here, you know. And Sister Gift, we met her. Sister Veronica also. I mean, all these people, Sister Julia, Sister Renita, you know, Sister K, you know, and Sister K, already we're like family, and you know, we've only known her, you know, a few weeks or maybe a few months. And you know, what about Sister Alexis? What about Sister Praise, you know, Brother Sam's, wife? I mean, we've known all these people a long time. What about Sister Santan? Powerful voice every time she speaks, you know, and of course, you know, Sister Lola. She can throw down, you know, and then Sister Sue. I mean, all these people, some of you are, we're just meeting, even Sister Sue that we're just meeting. We're already like family. She's coming here. She's helping. She's giving powerful testimonies. You know, and, you know, I remember the first time I heard her testimony. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, and so on and so forth. Look, all these people that are here, you are all very, very precious to all of us. And we love you all. And in the audience, I see also Sister Jean, Sister Nkechi. I mean, we've known Sister Nkechi for a very, very long time. You know, and Sosa is there. The other Jean is there. Sister Rita. You know, all of you. Sister Sean. Sister Princess. And Sister Esther. Sister Esther. She's family, actually. In case you don't know that. She's my family. You know, and she's also wife to one of our pastors in our church. But she's family. And because my daughter Olunife is married to her brother. Praise the Lord. You know, so, I mean, we got, you know, it's just amazing. I just want to spend, you know, and we've got Sister Elizabeth that's here. Other women are here that come from time to time. They may not be here. I want to acknowledge them all. And I don't want to miss anybody. You always run the risk of when you are doing this that you miss somebody. But that's not the intent. I don't want to miss anybody. Sister Grace is here. Everybody, we love you. We appreciate you. There are other people from GMI Church that come here. Other women, too, that are not here today. Like Sister Queen was there yesterday. Sister Eyitayo is there sometimes. Sister Lorraine is there. Sister Danica is there. I mean, all these women, you know. And then I also acknowledge the men as well. Thank you, all the brothers as well. You know, I'm not leaving the brothers out. We're just trying to use this as a women acknowledgement. But all the brothers that are on the platform, acknowledge you as well. I mean, you know that Brother Victor always has some good words to say. Elder James, one of our, you know, powerful, powerful soul winners, action team members, always out there, he and his wife winning souls. Sister Veronica and her husband, Pastor John, doing the same. I just want to thank everybody that's here. You know, I see other men in the room, Brother Duke, Brother Raphael, Brother Sam, Brother Kolakbo. All the things that Brother Kolakbo does for us at the church. I see Brother Balogo is there. You know, Brother Olu now, he's joined us. That's Sister Barakat's husband. You know, and so on and so forth. Brother Godwin is there from time to time. So, indeed, acknowledge everybody. But today, you know, I doff my hat to the ladies. Thank you for all you do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the hour has come and I want to release this substance. You know, there is a substance, there's an anointing that God gives in every room and it's all different. And I say this in the church sometimes when I want to call a prayer line, you know, and say, look, there's an anointing that God gives every time. It's a different anointing. It may not be the one from last service, maybe the one for this one. There is an anointing that God gave for this series. And I want to release it right now as we close this series over the women. We've been talking to women to emerge. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want all the women to hear this, and every man too. You know, there is a, I'm going to give a few scriptures, and then I'm going to do a release here in just a minute. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, we were talking about this thing, and I wanted to just let us know that there is actually scripture that is behind it, right? So Joel chapter 2 is the appearance, the vision of this so-called Joel's army. You know, and they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb up like men of war. Men here is not just, they're not just men really. They're sons of God. You know, now we've already covered that. But here is what I want to bring forth here. In Joel chapter 2 verse 7, they shall march every one on his ways and they shall not break their ranks. There's ranking in the kingdom. You know, despite all these things that we're saying, there's ranking, there's also structure, ranking in the home, ranking and so all these things, you know, but find your place and do it right according to the rules. Run your race tactfully. That's right. Your own race. You can't run somebody else's race. You run your own race tactfully and according to the rules so that you may obtain the crown. That's what Paul said. Say, run that you may obtain. But when you're running, you got to do it according to the rules. So we've laid that out today, but I want to release this for all the women. You know, there's a story in Luke chapter 13. Jesus saw a woman that had been bound for 18 years, you know, and he began to try to heal her on the Sabbath day. And you know how all those Sanhedrin and all those religious leaders on that day, they didn't want the woman to be healed. And they couldn't care less about the woman's condition. They were more concerned about, you must keep the Sabbath day. Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard of old time, you have heard it said that your women must keep silence in the churches. Out of the hardness of the heart of those women and that being loud and everything, Paul wrote those things. But now the Holy Spirit is telling you, let the women that are in the house, hallelujah, let them emerge and not be bound. No longer bond woman, you are a free woman. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not unruliness, not craziness. There's a liberty of the sons of God, of which all the women are a part. So I'm going to release this. Someone said today, look, if you were, two people actually said it. Sister Sentan said it, Sister Julia said it. If you were to keep silent, these stones might cry out. I don't want a stone to take my place. Do you?
Come on!
Do you want a stone to take your place? Oh, absolutely not. So I will not be silent. You know, I will not be silent. And you know, I've been having this spasm in my throat for some weeks now. It's not exactly a cough. It just comes on when I'm trying to speak. But I said to the devil, look, I will not be silent. You have to go down to hell first before I will be silent. Because this thing, this voice, God has given me a voice. And to his own glory, I will not be silent. You cannot shut me up. You can't do it. You know, and I want to say to the women that are in this room today, and those of you that may be listening later on, thou art loosed this day. Hallelujah. Set free to glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. Anointed of this day. You are anointed of the Lord. And you are loosed from the bondage of tradition. From the bondage of the letter that killeth. Thou art loosed and set at liberty today. Only Parosheta Reboskutanira. Only, saith the Lord, use not your liberty as a license for rebellion. Or as a license for pride. Hallelujah. Because then you come into the condemnation of the devil. Now I pray for every woman that has the Spirit of God upon them. Hallelujah. The Lord said unto you, and look, this is the word of the Lord unto you. Hallelujah. It's not only unto men, it's unto you. Hallelujah. The Lord, all the things that the Lord said, he said, look, and what I say unto you, I say unto all. Glory to God. Now, the Lord has put his spirit upon you. Glory to God. He has put that spirit upon you. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 21. And I'm going to release this upon every woman that's in this room today. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth. Hallelujah. And you teach it to your offspring too. You teach it to your children. Women are so powerful. They're better teachers in the home, you know, with the children than even the men, because they are more patient and everything like that, you know. And so my spirit that is upon you, saith the Lord, and the words that are put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, and you will not steal the words of the Lord. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, ye shall not steal the words of the Lord from the body of Christ. Now, not everyone is called to speak. Your role, as we have spoken in this room this last 3 days, may be something else, but you will do it. Hallelujah. And you will not be bound. You will not be relegated to the background. And if they don't let you do it, well, the world is your stage. We said that already. Ladies and gentlemen, I release the Spirit of God, glory to God, upon every woman and every man and every boy, every girl, everyone that listens to this, and particularly for the women who have been bound, some of them these many years, under this organizational bondage, under this traditional bondage. Woman, thou art loosed. To arise and to shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. Hallelujah. It is now your turn to mount up with wings as eagles. Not over your husbands, not over men. You know, God didn't call you to do any of that. But in your space, God calling you to do what he wants you to do. It's not about women versus men. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a topic about women versus men, men versus women. It is not about that. It is about you recognizing your kingdom function and stepping into it. Praise the Lord. And the eye of the Lord is upon you. His hand is upon you, and he will gently guide you. And look, I know tradition has kept us back, but some of us need to repent as well. That's right. Some of you also need to repent. I know you've been taught wrongly, but you also need to repent. And the Lord said, look, when you are ready, I will help you. But you need to repent, because, you know, we have been disobedient, you know. Paul said, look, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, many of us have been, because we have been kept backward. But who will you obey? The disciples said, look, choose you. I mean, think, judge you within yourselves whom we should obey. Should we obey God, or should we obey men? When they told them to shut up and not speak anymore in this name. Well, it's the same thing like they've said to the women, shut up and not speak anymore in the name of the Lord. Well, whom should we obey? Should we obey God, or should we obey man? Hallelujah. Now, those of you that have shut your mouth because you were put in a wrong place, you also were guilty, because it's like you buried your talent. And, you know, for whatever reason that you buried your talent, it was you that buried the talent. So you are guilty of that. I pray, you know, and the Lord's already forgiven you, but you must repent. You must say, Lord, I'm sorry. From now on, I say yes. That's it. That's all he wants. All he wants is you to say yes. You know, God is not going to beat you over the head with it. You know, that's man, that's tradition that does that. You know, once you give your yes to the Lord, that's it. He's not worried about all those things. You know, now, God may make you go through some things because of some other things. It's like Paul, you know, he persecuted the church. He went through some things and then he had to suffer some things for the name of Christ too. But, you know, the Lord wasn't always rubbing it in his face. It was the Christians that were trying to rub it in his face. It wasn't God. You know, the Christians were afraid of him because of what he did in the past, but not Jesus didn't bring that up. But Jesus did say, I have chosen you to suffer many things for my name's sake. And Paul was ready. Now, are you ready? Now, don't think within yourself for one moment that when you say yes, it will be easy. No. It will not be easy. But the Lord has destiny helpers. Hallelujah. I pray for destiny helpers upon your path. Hallelujah. Now, there would be destiny destroyers. There are some of those. There's both ways. You can't have one without the other. There are would-be destiny destroyers, hanging in the wings, trying to suppress your destiny. Uh-huh. But they're there. But there's also the destiny helpers that will help you to get there. And Joseph, the husband of Mary, was a number one destiny helper. Will help her get to the destiny of birthing the Christ child. Hallelujah. And Joseph was there alongside Mary and help her do that. Glory to God. He didn't understand it at first. Could have put her away. But the Lord said, no, you stay right there. You help her. Hallelujah. And he stayed right with it and he helped her. And they got through it. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray destiny helpers to the life of these your wonderful daughters that are in this room, that are hearing me today. And may this lesson, these 3 days, be also a destiny helper for you, giving you the empowerment to emerge in the name of Jesus. And now, once you begin to emerge, the Lord's going to cause you to experience a quantum leap. Hallelujah. Now, the years that you have been lost, I say to you by the word of the Lord, God is the God of the 11th hour. The ones that were hanging around in Matthew chapter 20 all day long, no one allowing them to walk. And they said, and the master came and said, why do you stand here idle all day long? We said, well, because no man gave us an opportunity to do anything. Well, all of you women that have felt like that story in Matthew 20, that you've been around all along and no one gave you a chance to do anything, the Lord says to you, go into my vineyard and walk. Go in there and walk. And I will give you what seemeth right. Hallelujah. Now it's your time to go in and work. So don't give any excuse anymore that, well, nobody's put me to work. The Lord said, my vineyard is open. Why are you waiting for somebody? Go in there and do something. Praise the Lord. And the Lord, when he was all said and done, he gave them the same as the ones that have been doing it forever. So Lord, I thank you that the reward system from God is not like man's systems. Hallelujah. And these ones that are saying yes to the Lord today. Now, if that's you and you are in the room here today, and you are a woman, especially, and a man too, but the women especially, if you will say yes to the Lord today and say no, remember, loose thyself from the bands around your neck, thou captive daughter of Zion. Isaiah 52 verse 2. You will no longer be captive. If you will say no to negativity of captivity, and if you will say yes to the Lord, I want you to type a capital yes in the chat room. That's right. I want you to say yes to the Lord. Type it in the chat room. And the Lord is looking at it right now. And the Lord is giving you the empowerment. The Lord is giving you, that's right, the empowerment right now. Right now. If you say yes, you're a woman that's being held back by tradition. You've been held back, not been given opportunity to be in the vineyard. And now it's almost 1 hour left in the day. And the Lord is saying to you, why are you standing here idle? And you say, well, nobody gave me an opportunity. The Lord says, yes, go. go into my vineyard. Hallelujah. And where is the vineyard? The world is your stage. Hallelujah. Receive instruction from the Holy Spirit of what he wants you to do. All you need to do is say, here I am, Lord. You have my yes. Now, I want the men to say yes as well. Don't be left out. Don't let only the women say yes to the Lord. Let me type my yes here. Yes, Lord. Find my capital letters here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I type yes to the Lord as well. Now, if you said yes, I pray the grace of Almighty God. Take those words. You will emerge and you will shine. Hallelujah. Your Y is for you. Your E is for emerge. And your S is to shine. Hallelujah. You said yes. He's going to make you shine. He's going to make you emerge. And he's going to make you shine. I never, not for one moment, even thought of yes as an acronym for you emerge and shine. The Lord just, Holy Spirit just brought it right now. I never thought about it in my life. But you will emerge and you will shine because you said yes. Thank you, Father. Arise now and shine. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But remember, what does the Lord require of thee, O man or woman, but to walk humbly before the Lord thy God? Never vaunt up yourself and say, yes, now I'm this. No, you are nothing. The Lord is everything. It is the Lord that is everything. Without him, we can do nothing. You know, this is not a vain, this is not a motivational speech. This is none of that. This is the word of the Lord calling you to your place in Christ, your rightful place in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I give you all the praise and all the glory. Now, let the people praise the Lord. Now, if you are in the room here, praise the Lord. Come on, go ahead. Open your mics and praise the Lord. You may do that now. Let the people praise the Lord.